This is the Dreamers Podcast, where dreamers share their stories to inspire you. Now, join host Joe Pardo as he interviews a dreamer who's living their dreams.
Welcome to the Dreamers Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Pardo, and today I am interviewing Doug Barnes, who is living his dream through theme park podcasting. Welcome to the show, Doug.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being a part of the show. I really appreciate you coming on.
Absolutely. I really do love what you're doing here.
Well, thank you. I really am enjoying it myself. I get to talk to a lot of awesome people and a lot of people that I know. But so far, I've interviewed some people that I didn't know as well, and I've got to know them better, as well as share their inspiring stories to other people. So it's really a great experience for me, hopefully as well for my listeners.
Yeah, and I could totally relate with that, because that's a lot of what we do with our podcast as well. So, hey, absolutely. I'm totally down with this.
Well, let's start by giving our audience a brief background about yourself.
A brief background. I could say that I've always been, I grew up in California. I've been a theme park fan all of my life. My parents used to take me to Great America over in Northern California and into Disneyland all the time as a child. And those were my greatest memories, were going to those parks and enjoying roller coasters and going on dark rides. And as I went into college, I decided I was going to start, I was going to get into the industry. I was going to figure out how, but there was no real course to be able to do that. So I kept on bouncing from place to place, trying to find something that got me into theme parks or roller coaster design. Ultimately gave up and started working in the medical field. And then after so many things happening, you know, having a family, children, I have three boys, I wanted to get back into what I love most, which is theme parks. And I started a podcast known as the Season Pass Podcast. And it was just me talking about news and rumors and stuff that's happening in the industry, partnered up with people who work in the industry. And we started bringing on people who were sharing their stories of how they got involved with the industry and sharing their how they're living the dream, kind of like what you're doing here, but strictly with theme parks. And then we also go to theme parks and we learn about them, and people who work there get to teach our listeners about those parks. And that's kind of what we do, and that's what we've been doing for the past 7 years.
Wow, 7 years is a long time.
It just feels like it's forever, actually. Sometimes, you know, I look back and I'm like, gosh, it didn't seem like it was that long ago. And then other times I look back and go, dude, that was so long ago. So, yeah, it's sometimes it feels long. Sometimes it feels short, but yeah, it's been a while.
But it's great that you found a way to tap into what you love and what you're passionate about, even though you didn't get into the industry in a concrete sense.
When I was in college, I always wanted some kind of course, like some kind of instructions on how to learn about the industry and how to get into it. This podcast kind of is my response to for everybody else who had that issue that I had when I was getting into college. And hopefully they find their way through this. I guess that's the most concrete way of putting it out.
Well, what would you say is your biggest inspiration?
There's so many things that inspire me. I might be a little bit ADD when it comes to what inspires me. Obviously, family, my children and everything, that's what inspires me the most, is I see a lot of their fun and the love that they have for this stuff, you know, in their eyes, and it makes me excited. I'm most inspired by developing stories for other people to enjoy, to that moment to be lost, you know, where you don't have to think about the real world, where you get to be immersed in storytelling. And I am always inspired by that. And it doesn't even have to be just, you know, like, you know, a show or like a ride, but it could be anything. That moment where you get immersed in that moment where you don't think about anything else, it's just that moment being human. That's what really inspires me.
Well, let's go back to how your dream came about. You mentioned a bit about, you know, growing up and wanting to be a part of the theme park industry, but not knowing how. So if you want, let's start with how your podcasting adventure came about.
Okay. Dropped out of college because I couldn't figure out a way to get into theme park design or roller coaster design or anything like that. And so I started to get, you know, started a family, you know, started doing the married life, just going to work, 8 hours a day, you know, and you just work and you take care of your family and everything. And then I got into real estate investment and started getting into this whole flipping houses thing. And I flipped a house and made good money off of it. And I was like, this is awesome. And this was back in 2005, 2006 when I started doing this. And I was in the middle of an investment. We were doing very well. And then all of a sudden, this house that we were in and that we were fixing up and putting a lot of money in, especially in California, it's still a bit of money. The market completely crashed. You know, everything stopped. And the market basically told us that we have nothing left, that everything that we invested into this one house is all gone. So I went ahead and continued to restore it and build it and hope that somebody could buy it. And, it didn't happen. We ended up foreclosing from the house, and everything that I worked towards and everything that I built my money towards completely was taken away from us. And so at that moment, I called it a bit of a depression. My wife just called it a funk, you know, but I looked for something else that would cheer me up, you know, that I could find love in again, because I had it in that real estate for that little time, and I lost it so quickly. And I put my family in such a terrible position by doing this too. So of course, you know, I'm trying to figure out ways that, you know, I could find joy as well as sharing it with my family. You know, and I wasn't going to theme parks for a long time during that time between college and you know, starting to do the real estate stuff. We stopped going to theme parks. It wasn't my focus anymore. So I went back to that, and started taking the family there, and we started doing stuff. And I learned about podcasting. And I thought that podcasting was a great way just to share your interest. And so I went on, started a show first with some friends and did like a little movie video game thing, but I wasn't really into movies and video games. So that ended quickly, and I started my theme park podcast, Season Pass Podcast. And it was just a way for me to share theme parks and my love for the industry with the public. And, you know, I immediately started getting some listeners, some people who were interested. I guess, and this is, so I know, Joe, that we talked about this before, but, you know, like I said, as long, you know, you have a meeting, and everybody who goes in the podcast, you have to have something that you need to talk about, and it has to be something special. But at the same time, you have to make sure that it sounds good, you know, and that people want to listen to it. And so I really worked hard on making sure that it was a quality podcast. And that's how I got a hold of Brent Young from Super 78. He's the co-founder and creative director of Super 78. And he contacted me saying, I love your podcast. I love the way it sounds. I've always had this dream of doing a theme park podcast and bringing the creators on to talk with them. And we hit it off. And that's how the podcast came to be. And that's where my inspiration kind of went, was from, you know, all these trials and trying to figure this out with, you know, with theme parks and all this stuff, into actually having a foundation to be able to share, you know, hundreds of stories within the industry with thousands of people.
Wow. Wow. That, how long did all that take? Like, say, from idea to, okay, first episode.
You know, I for anybody who starts a podcast, especially nowadays, you know, it takes no time. I learned about this service, this host service called Libsyn, and found out about them. And it took me literally, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks before I started, you know, from thought of it to actually putting out the first episode. It took no time, really. And then by my seventh episode that I had out, and I was doing it weekly at that time, so less than 2 months, Brent Young contacted me. And then starting on episode 10, he was on that episode. And so, and then forward, we still talked a lot about news and rumors, stuff like that, but we started changing our focus to where every once in a while, we were going to have a guest, or we're going to go to this one place and talk this specific subject. But now that's what the whole show's turned into. It's like every single episode, it's kind of like a mixed pot of designers and people and parks and stuff like that. So there's no more news and rumors. That's not what we do at all. We're specifically based on the creators and the stories behind the industry.
It's interesting to see how things evolve like that, isn't it?
It's crazy. Yeah. Because at first it was just a little hobby. It's just something to get my mind off of all the money and I lost and the hell I put my family through for that time. But I am so thankful, you know, and it's such a blessing to look back and see, you know, what has changed. I mean, it's remarkable to see where it's turned. And even though, yeah, we're, you know, even today, this day, I still have some financial troubles and we're actually seeing some transformations happening down the road. But I still feel absolutely blessed, you know, that this is the way it has happened. And you know, you can't explain it. You can't write it. It just happens. It's life.
Well, I'm really sorry to hear about the financial troubles that the bubble created for you and your family. With that in mind, how did they take the news of you wanting to start a podcast?
My wife was for anything that got me off of my mind or got my mind off of everything that we put into for the real estate stuff. So the house that we bought, all the money that I put into, you know, fixing it up and trying to get it to the point to flip it. It just, you know, anything that could get my mind off of that, she was for, you know, and she knew how much I loved theme parks. And she knew that this was my love ever since I was a child. When my wife and I are actually high school sweethearts. So, you know, when we first met, our very first conversation, was about music and bands and stuff. And, you know, and then it was sports, you know, just because I'm out here. I'm born and raised in the San Francisco area. So, you know, I'm always talking about my 49ers and San Francisco Giants. But I'm also, you know, I talk about theme parks and I talk about them all the time. And she grew up in Houston and she used to go to Six Flags, which is no longer there. The Six Flags that is in Houston. You know, so she loved going to theme parks. Her family went all the time, too. And so we kind of found that mutual bond and we, you know, been together ever since. So she knew how important this was to me and how good, you know, this just talking about this made me feel. So it was fine. Everything worked out fine.
Well, that's good to hear. I mean, otherwise, you probably wouldn't be married at this point.
No. Yeah. Funny that you say that because, you know, when I first started the podcast, I told my wife, I was like, yeah, it's just going to be about 10 to 15 minutes an episode. Just going to put up news and rumors. Not going to really cost me anything. It's going to cost like $15 a month or something like that. Just to have the blog up and everything. And, checking out the, financial history and the tens of thousands of dollars that's now been invested into this company, which has become it's an actual company. It's an actual business. It's a registered business in Northern California with copyrights and trademarks. And I've put a lot of money into it all of a sudden. And now, yeah, so she's still with me, though. I don't know if she knows the full total. And that's all I'm going to say.
Well, we don't have to divulge that today. But it does lead me into the next question of what steps did you take to get started?
What I did is I really actually studied up by listening to other shows and hearing what they were about. And almost all the shows during that time when we started was all, you know, if you're talking about theme park stuff, it wasn't theme park stuff. It was all Disney and it's all just Disney based podcasts. And during that time, there was hundreds. Now there's thousands, you know, but there was hundreds of them back then. And I loved Disneyland is my favorite park, period. End of story. Epcot's my second favorite park. So, you know, obviously I'm a huge Disney fan, but I love all theme parks. And there was a couple of theme park shows out there, who were really good at the time. But actually, when we started, neither one of them were actually podcasting. They both stopped. And so I ended up, I'm like, well, there's a void here. You know, there's a void here. There's no just universal, I don't mean that's not a pun. There's no, you know, universal look at the theme park world, you know, where you do look at Disney, Universal, Six Flags, Cedar Fair, Merlin, all these companies out there, so many different companies doing so many different things. So I was like, there's a void and I could feel that because I want to do this. I want to get into podcasting. And like I said, I had a show before called The Idiot Pod with my friends and I already had the microphones. I already had the soundboard. So it was easy for me to just kind of, you know, take all that equipment and just attach it to the computer and start recording. And then, yeah, like I said, I just found the host, you know, started an account. And immediately just started recording my shows and uploading the MP3s onto the computer. I wish I could say it was a lot more complex, but it really wasn't. it was fairly simple to get started. But then what it was is about is that if you're doing it weekly, you have to make sure that you come up with material each week for it, which can be pretty difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, that's part of the reason why I interview people. Truth be known.
Well, hey, I'm totally with you on that. That's why, I mean, the main reason why we just interview people and we just bring different people on to share their stories, or if they have something to talk about, or, you know, if we have chances to go to certain parks and then actually have the parks tell their stories, you know, then we just kind of, we don't record it weekly now. It's kind of like we go out on these trips and then we gather up like between 5 and 10 episodes within that one trip, and then we disperse them, you know, every week to 2 weeks.
Well, that's a good way of doing it, especially when you're getting a bunch of interviews all at one chunk at a time, to not just give it all up at once.
Yeah. Well, and that's the one thing lots of people say, that that practice doesn't usually work, because then you're not, if you're releasing something that's 6 months later from when it was recorded, then it's not relevant anymore. Luckily, with the industry that we chose and the stories that we're looking at, we're just looking at personal stories. So that never gets old. You know, that kind of stuff is timeless. So you can release it 6 months later and it's still relevant as anything else could be that day.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. So when you started all this, was there any roadblocks that you hit?
The basic ones, you know, how can I get the name out of the podcast? How can I do that? And, you know, just continuing to go on, back in the day, it was forums, you know, going to different forum boards and just putting your name out there. And that was a roadblock. It was a long, long time before we started getting a much larger audience than, you know, your smaller podcast. But that was one. Obviously, some of the interviews that we wanted to get back in the day didn't happen because, you know, you weren't really taking, probably the number one roadblock is just not being taken seriously. When you have to go and you talk to people, you're like, oh, I have a podcast. You know, when you said, especially back then, you know, lots of people would say, well, it's a podcast. That's just something that people do out of their garage. It's something that somebody does at home. And that was a major roadblock to be taken seriously when you're telling people, well, it's a podcast. Other than that, it's just the chances to get out to these places, because before I did the podcast, I rarely went around. I went to a couple of different states, but I didn't really go out to all these different places. After time, you know, you're building these friendships and relationships and this community, you have to figure out how you're going to set money aside to actually go to these places, because you have to build your credibility. If you're going to continue to talk about the industry, you need to actually experience the industry. And that was a roadblock, was trying to figure out how financially I could get myself to all these places. And you know, I worked hard at it and was able to get to all kinds of different places to be able to expand our content, basically, for the podcast.
So specifically, how did you overcome not being taken seriously?
I think we started getting some, what happened is Brent, my buddy Brent, who we've been doing this podcast forever with, you know, he was able to get a few people, key people, to come onto the podcast. And then, you know, then we had Ryan Harmon, who's another guy who comes on the show every once in a while, was able to get a couple of guests. So now all of a sudden we had, in the theme park world and in the industry, we had a few people who are well known within that industry to come on, because, you know, they had their friends ask them. And so we were able to get them on, and we showed that we could present a quality interview and a quality show. And so when people were listening to it, rather than being annoyed at the sound or anything like that, they're like, oh my gosh, that's, you know, that's my friend. He's telling a story. I didn't know about that. And so it started spreading within the industry itself. And then it kind of moved outwards to more of the audience out there. It's still a major roadblock, is still trying to reach out that Disney audience, because we can have all the people who work in the industry. There's so many people who actually do listen to the show, but the actual fan base of Disney, say, you know, the guys who listen to, you know, those podcasts out there, those Disney specific podcasts that get like tens of thousands of listeners each episode, they look at season pass and they look at it as just like a roller coaster show or something. And it's so much more than that. So that's a big roadblock, actually. I'm sorry to go back to it, but, it's really hard to get to them. But once they do, what we've realized is that once they do realize, you know, what kind of a podcast we are and how we have the most Walt Disney Imagineers out of any podcast actually telling their stories and how they got involved with the industry more than any other resource out there, it's, you know, that speaks for itself in a way. So now it's it's been much easier because it's a quality show. We take pride in that. We take we're very excited and humble about it, but we take a lot of pride in the fact that we have been able to establish a quality show that people have told their stories on. And now we have people who want to share their stories and understand that this is a platform where they can do it. It just takes years, pretty much.
So has there been any parts of your dream that haven't quite worked out?
Well, I can say that one of my main goals that I had was that we at some point we're going to have a TV show, right? And that, I'm sure that everybody dreams this as a podcaster, you know, like, well, first it's this and then I want to be on radio, you know, or it's first it's this and then we have a TV show. Well, that's kind of like a dream I had. I hope that this would be able to expand to the point that we would be able to have a TV show of some sort or be able to have more resources than just the podcast itself that are actual, you know, possible career moves. And that hasn't really happened. We did have in 2011? Let's see. I'm sorry. I'm doing math right here. For all your listeners, I'm counting on my fingers right at the moment. So 2011, we received a call, and we rarely talk about this, but at this point it's been so long that, you know, who cares, from a company called Indigo Films. And Indigo Films is a film company that produces these shows for Travel Channel and History Channel and all kinds of channels like that. And they're known for producing amusement park shows and theme park shows and stuff like that. So they contacted us about this. They loved what we were doing. They wanted us to host, Brent and myself, to host these special theme park shows or these roller coaster shows. And we were down with it. It was exciting. And it sounded like it was kind of an expensive project. But, you know, for us, it's just sitting. So we signed our letters of consent and all that stuff. So we were on board. And we had all the legal bindings to start it. And ultimately, Travel Channel said no to it and said yes to a show that was basically much cheaper and easier to produce. And it didn't take it wasn't financially such a burden. So that fell off. So I'm still waiting for that to happen. That's the next thing. So that was as close to my dream, my full dream that I thought we were going to be. And it felt like we were almost there, but it never actually happened. So that's still standing there. That's probably still my dream. And ultimately just being able to have this be a career, you know, and I know it sounds silly, you know, for any kind of podcaster saying, I want this to be my career, because we all do, but that kind of is, that's what it is. We've put so much time and so much love and passion into this. And we've been able to share so much information and, you know, that's still my goal, is to be able to have this be my main career. I will say that just one of the things that I've always hoped for is that somebody would listen to the show and be inspired enough to actually make it into the industry. And I am proud to say that every single time I go on these major trips, I've had at least 20 different people come to me saying, it's because of your podcast I now am working in the industry because I've been listening to it. Or people who were in the industry walked away and came back to it. So, you know, I know that we're working as an inspirational tool because I've heard it firsthand from people when we go on these trips. But that to me is the greatest goal ever. And I've been lucky enough, blessed enough to hear it multiple times. And that's one of the reasons why we keep on doing it.
Well, that is a really beautiful thing. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we're here today, is to inspire people. As for your TV show hopes, I will have to get with you after the show, because I do have a possible contact to send your way.
Oh, Joe, you rock.
Well, there's no promises, but it is a little bit of an in to a network. So we'll see where it takes you.
Awesome.
So I got to ask you, if you were stranded on a deserted island with your family, what's three things that you couldn't live without?
All right. So music's number one. Number two is sports. And number three is some kind of, it doesn't have to be a theme park, but some kind of entertainment that our entire family could be together and enjoy. Something like that. I don't know what it is, but something that It doesn't even have to be tangible, just something that we can be immersed in for us all to enjoy together.
So what do your dreams for the future look like?
Well, that TV show thing. No, my dreams of the future is that we can actually continue to grow this business. Like I said, we've invested quite a bit. We've invested a lot of time, a lot of efforts, and we've gained a large audience. So my wishes and my hopes is that we're able to expand this and make this a bigger business and be able to monetize it in a way. And we're taking the first steps towards that. And I have to say, Joe, that when I first started my podcast, the last thing I wanted was to monetize it or make money. It was just a hobby. But, you know, after 7 years of doing this and going through what we have, you know, your goals do change. And so right now I do look at it as to expand the brand, to make it more than just a podcast and to be able to monetize it and make it a profitable brand that we can continue to expand and grow with.
There's nothing wrong with that, Doug. I personally listen to this show, and by far, episode 200 is my favorite episode.
That's my favorite episode, by the way.
Yeah, I could see why. I mean, with having so many, stars to you and definitely stars to me in one episode, that's just awesome that you were able to bring it all together. And as for the sound quality, I can attest that it sounds really good. I personally try my best to make this sound as good as I can so that my listeners are as interested and that the audio quality doesn't get in the way to deter people from listening to the content.
You know, it takes time and, you know, throughout time, one tip I can say to everybody out there and like what you're going through, and I bet you the show sounds fantastic, but always listen to the feedback, whether it's positive, negative, whether it's somebody that you find annoying or somebody that you absolutely, worship, just listen to the feedback because there's always something hidden somewhere in there that you can use from every single person, whether you think that they're worth the time or not. That's what I found out is that, it doesn't matter who it's coming from or whatever. If it's feedback, it's feedback and you can use it.
Yeah, it's nice when people at least give you the time of day to give you that feedback.
Absolutely. And I mean, those are moments that we should cherish. It means that they're actually paying attention and that they care in some way if they're giving you that feedback.
Yeah. I mean, how many people could listen to it and then just never go back and never say anything, never leave any feedback? It's a beautiful thing when people take the time to at least let you know what their opinion is of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I mean, I just wish that for anybody out there who, whatever project you're doing, whatever you're doing, just if somebody gives you that feedback, just listen to it and take it. Whether you agree with it or not, but there's something there, there's something special, and they obviously care in some way.
Definitely. So before we wrap up, is there any last thoughts you'd like to share?
No, Joe, I mean, I really do appreciate you sitting here. And I know you're called the Dreamers Podcast and you're talking about I'm living the dream. Yeah, I'm still working on living the dream. I'm hoping one day I do. I just thank you so much for giving me this moment to be able to share my story. And I know that you have something wonderful going here. And also just thank you so much for your support.
Oh, not a problem. I mean, you really helped me out. I've sold CDs because of your podcast. So that's always good news, right?
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's great. But, it's not just about selling, too. It's a chance to just, the one thing that we can all do is get together and we can actually, when we have that one subject that we all can just be excited about together and be able to share that with more people who are excited about it. Hey, that's the best thing about it, too.
No, I totally agree. And, of course, you're living your dream. And most people, not necessarily living, but they're working on their dream. And that's what you're doing. It's taken many more years than you're in your mind you had hoped that it would take. And that's okay. It's not a race.
Yeah. Yeah, if it was a race, we would be down at the bottom. But it's just been an honor to be able to speak with you. I thank you so much for taking a moment and just having me on the show. And I wish you the very best. I think you're doing something wonderful here, Joe. And your project, your Adventurium, is killer, man.
Thank you so much. And I really appreciate you taking the time to come onto my show. It's great to have other podcasters on, especially to maybe inspire other people to start their own podcast about something that's niche that they really are passionate about but don't get to do, or don't get to do as a full-time job.
Yeah,
definitely could change your life. Would you have had all the adventures that you had if you didn't have the podcast?
No, you really hit it on the head right there. If you have that special passion inside you and you feel like you have the ability to share it, do it, because you'll be shocked at the wonderful people who are out there, that special community that you didn't even know about that's actually out there. You hit a great point. It really can change your life.
Well, thank you. You want to plug all your Facebook and your Twitter and the website?
Sure, I could plug. Let's see here. We got a seasonpasspodcast.com. That's our website. That's the hub that you can go there at any time. Just go to seasonpasspodcast.com. You can find anything you want, the archives of the show, learn about the podcast, learn about the host, learn about us. And then you can also you can follow us on Twitter at The Season Pass. That's our tag, The Season Pass. Also at Facebook at facebook.com/TheSeasonPass. I'm honored to be on the show and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Doug. I really appreciate it. And I hope to have you on again soon so that you could update on how everything's going with monetizing and the trials and tribulations of becoming a monetized podcast after so long not being a monetized podcast. You know, you guys do great work and you deserve to make money on what you're doing, because it takes a lot of time and a lot of effort away from the family and from other things that you might be doing otherwise.
Yeah, well, I thank you so much. And hopefully we get Brent and Robert on soon, because they have some great stories for your podcast as well.
Well, I would love to have them on, definitely. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Dreamers Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dreamers Podcast. Join us on Facebook at facebook.com/DreamersPodcast. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on the Dreamers Podcast, please send an email to j@jpar.co. This podcast is copyright 2014 by jpar.co.